Prabhu Nichananda Shidwai Vikaratha
Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopagavata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Kiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturadam Ki Jai Navadeepdam Ki Jai Jagadadasami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Shri Gaur Shri Krishna Dad Goswami Maharaj Ki
Jai.
Lambasa Yatra Ki
Jai.
Gosraman Ji.
Hari Hari Gaur. So Om Ganar Timirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya. Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. You can So today we are celebrating Vaishnava Diksha or initiation, Harinam initiation. And what I would like to show in this small discussion tonight is that we are, or the Krishna Consciousness Movement, is completely authorized and teaching something that is called the Absolute Truth, unquestionably objective truth. Just like there are many other temples around and churches around and mandirs around and mandalis around here, so why are we saying that what we are teaching is best? We are saying this because our knowledge comes directly from Krishna, not from some ordinary person, not from some philosopher, not from some simply cultural heritage. It comes dharmam su sakshat bhagavat prinitam, directly from God. Just like today, I was sitting in a plane next to someone of a different religion, and I was talking to him about how does he know what he knows, or why does he believe in what he believes in?
Guru Maharaj keh rahe hain ki main plane mein jab aa raha tha, mere bagal mein ek vyakti baitha tha. Main unse puchna chahta tha ki jo tum vishwas kar rahe ho, kyun wo vishwas kar rahe ho?
And I was explaining to him that in the history of the religion that he has, there has been so many changes and speculations and even priests fighting against each other to establish their own particular doctrine. And basically he became a little bewildered, and I think he ran away from me after the plane flight was over. I think I was a little too heavy for him. In philosophy, this is called epistemology, which means, how do you know what you know? So basically, we can approach anybody with any philosophy, with any belief, and simply ask him this one question: how do you know what you believe in? You know, why do you believe in what you believe in?
हम जिस मार्ग पर हैं हम किसी से प्रश्न कर सकते हैं कि तुम क्यों स्वीकार कर रहे हो और क्यों तुमने वो स्वीकार किया है और उसका उत्तर दे सकते हैं.
And they may answer, that's why I believe in this, because my mother taught me this. Or they may say, I believe in it because it feels good in my heart. Or my teacher in school taught it to me. Or I'm afraid of going to hell if I don't believe in it. So, these are not good reasons to believe in something. So, we accept Krishna consciousness because there is an unbroken chain of the cyclic succession coming down originally from Krishna himself. As is stated in the Gita, evam param param praptaham imam rajarshayo vidahu, that in the beginning Krishna taught the Bhagavad Gita knowledge to the sun god Vivaswan. Vivaswan taught it to Manu, Manu taught it to Ikshvaku, and came down all the way to the present day and age. And also there's a disciplic succession that we come in called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Krishna taught Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma taught Narada Muni, Narada Muni taught Vyasadeva, all the way down to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and His representatives who are here on the earth today. And that knowledge has been untouched, unchanged, and presented in its original form to us. There's no difference between what Krishna taught and what Srila Prabhupada has taught. So I challenge you to go to any other mandir or any other temple or any other mandali and see if they're teaching exactly what Krishna taught.
गुरुदेव कह रहा मैं चैलेंज कर रहा हूँ मैं आपको कि आप कोई भी मंडली में जाइए कहीं भी जाइए लेकिन वो लोग वही ज्ञान क्या दे रहे हैं जो श्री कृष्ण भगवान ने दिया था आपको नहीं मिले.
They are simply trying to put their own words in Krishna's mouth.
और वो लोग अपना शब्द को कृष्ण के नाम से उच्चारण कर रहे हैं.
And so this is dishonest. If they want to write their own Gita, they should call it the Maya Gita instead of Bhagavad Gita.
Or my Gita. ये उनका शब्द है भगवान श्री कृष्ण का शब्द नहीं है श्री गुरुदेव कह रहे हैं उनको भगवद गीता नहीं कहना चाहिए माया गीता माया गीता नहीं.
Instead of using the Ramayana to justify kava drinking, they should call it instead of Ramayana, they should call Mayayana.
जिस तरह वो यमुना कहते हैं रामायण को खाली लेकर यमुना कहने के लिए रामायण को इस्तेमाल करते हैं तो वो लोग रामायण नहीं बोलना चाहिए मायायान कहना चाहिए. मैं अपना मैं बनाया हूँ वो लोग.
It's like once upon a time there was a Muslim governor in India and he wanted a Ramayana written about himself.
जैसे एक गुरुदेव एक कथा बता रहे हैं एक उसने यानी के रोड़ा था उसने रामायण लिखा जो अपने से रचना किया.
So he went to one of the Hindu priests who was his prime minister and he said, please write a Ramayana about me.
और वो जो है वो एक प्राइम मिनिस्टर एक मिनिस्टर के पास गया उसने कहा प्लीज आप एक रामायण लिखे लेकिन मेरे बारे में.
And he refused. So the Hindu refused to write the Ramayana. But then he said, well, at least write the Mahabharata about me.
So he said, "Inkar kiya." So he said, "Okay, Mahabharata ko mere baare."
So then the Hindu priest said, okay, so how many husbands does your wife have? Because in the Mahabharata, Draupadi, she had 5 husbands. So who are the other 4 husbands? So the Muslim governor gave up his idea of having a Ramayana and Mahabharata written about himself. So this principle of disciplic succession is very important in our Krishna consciousness movement. And that's one proof that what we're teaching is real. There's other proofs too. Another proof is our own personal experience. As we're chanting the Lord's names, we can feel a connection with the Lord, and gradually, pratyaksha bhagavam dharmyam, shushukam kartamavyam, we're able to perceive the presence of Krishna directly. Another proof is that we can see by the process of Krishna consciousness, many devotees who were born in ordinary circumstances are becoming saintly. And the final proof I'm going to give is that this Krishna consciousness movement is, as Srila Prabhupada said, a united nations of the spiritual world. For example, we have devotees from all the countries in the world. It's not simply one culture or one particular nationality or from one village, but actually we have Chinese people, American people, Australian people, New Zealand people, African people, South American people, Mexican people, Canadian people, oh, Fijian people too. So, from every country. It is so nice if you go to our temple in Mayapur, which is our world headquarters, you'll see so many of Russians and Chinese, and they're all dancing and chanting the same mantra together. So this proves that Krishna consciousness transcends all the normal, cultural, national, racial distinctions. So these are proofs that what we're doing is transcendental, is absolute, is the highest knowledge available. And therefore we should have proof that by following this Krishna conscious philosophy and practice, we can become free from the miseries of life and become established in our original spiritual identity. Because there are so many difficulties in this temporary material world. Dukaliyama Shashvatam, from the and Brahma Bhuvanaloka, Punavartino Arjuna Mamu Pechitukantiya, Puna Janmana Vidyate, from the highest planet to the lowest planet. And there's no escape except through transcendental knowledge and transcendental practice of bhakti yoga. And so this Krishna consciousness movement and the practices therein can give you the highest benediction of eternal, blissful, full of knowledge life. So those of you who are taking initiation are embarking, that means starting, this transcendental path, which encompasses many different stages. There's initiation, which is part of the stage of what we call bhajana kriya. And then after initiation, you very seriously keep chanting your rounds. Of course, you're taking vows to always chant your rounds, follow the four regulative principles. And this vow is so important because you were taking the vow in front of the deities, and if one breaks a vow, it is very dangerous in spiritual life. Even if one's a little inattentive, it's dangerous. I mean, I knew one devotee who was just a little inattentive and he became a deer in his next life. And even Yamaraj was a little inattentive in his carrying out his duties as Yamaraj, and he was cursed to become a Shudra in his next life. So devotional service is like a razor's edge. If you use the razor properly, there'll be all success, but if you're not very careful, then there could be a little bit of a problem. But if you're careful executing the bhajana kriya steps of chanting, avoiding the 10 offenses, ten offenses, of course, state them very quickly. Committing offense against those who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Considering the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Indra, and Vayu, and Varuna, who else? And all 33 million of them, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Just like I was in the airplane today, and I was talking to this man, he said, I thought everyone who was a Hindu was polytheistic. In other words, believing in many gods. And I said, no, no, no. Monotheistic. We believe in one God, Ekala Ishra Krishna, Ara Sabda Ritya. And the demigods, they're there, but they're just servants. Krishna is the Prime Minister. And all the other ones are just his ministers, like Minister of Health. What other ministers you have here? Minister of Education. Finance, like that. But Krishna is the boss.
Education.
But Krishna will never call for elections. It's a permanent position. Alright, and so the next offense is to blaspheme the Vedic, or actually disobey the order of the spiritual master. Next offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures that teach the same thing as the Vedic literature. Next thing is to think of the glories of the holy name as imagination. Next offense is to give some crazy, perverted, speculative interpretation about the holy names. Next offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. Next offense is to think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is like one of the auspicious, ritualistic, karma kanja things found in the Vedic literatures. And next offense is to teach the glories, the intimate glories of the holy name to those who are faithless. And tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra and maintain material attachments in spite of hearing so many instructions on that matter. And also, it's very offensive to be inattentive while chanting the Lord's holy names. So, if one avoids these ten offenses and chants with attention, they can start to get rid of something we call anarthas. Anartha means things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. And these anarthas are caused, or they increase when we commit offenses against devotees, they increase when we perform pious or sinful activities, or we become attached to the profit adoration distinction one gets from the process of bhakti. So, when one gets rid of the anarthas, one becomes nishta, or steady in devotional service. That means 24 hours a day, you never lose control of your senses. That takes some time. Be patient. In the beginning, devotional service is like a child learning to walk. Sometimes you stand up and sometimes you fall on your face. That is natural. But nobody tells the child, because the child falls on his face, never get up. You are not going to walk. We understand if the child continues to practice, he will one day walk without falling down. Then, when you become steady, the next stage is what we call ruchi, which is one has such a taste that is an attraction for chanting, for hearing about Krishna, and for serving, that you don't want to do anything else.
और वो निस्तार जैसे आ जाता है तो उसके बाद में जो आता है उसको रुचि कहते हैं। रुचि का मतलब एक स्वाद, फिर भक्ति में उसको एक मजा स्वाद लगने लगता है।
And then you become asakti, which means detached from everything in this world. And then we come to the stage of bhava, where you experience such happiness, such emotions, that sometimes the hair in your body stands on end in ecstasy, tears come from your eyes in ecstasy, and your whole body shivers in ecstasy because you're so much in love with Krishna.
तब उसके बाद में अशक्ति जब संसारिक हट जाता है, अपने भगवान से इतना प्रेम होता है कि आपके रोमांच खड़ा हो जाता है, प्रतिमान हो जाता है, नये से भरा होने लगता है, गला गदगद हो जाता है, ये सब लक्षण आपको होने लगेगा।
We serve Krishna because we love him, not because what he does for us, but because simply we want to serve him and please him. And people serve the demigods because they're interested in what the demigod can do for them. It is more like business. Like someone goes to work and they get salary, otherwise they would not work. As soon as they stop salary, you don't work anymore. But when there's loving relationship, you don't think of salary. Like the husband is serving the wife is serving the husband, and they never ask for money, at least hardly ever. At least during the honeymoon period. Translate that? So then after Baba, one achieves pure love, which means basically thinking 24 hours a day, having such a nice internal relationship with Krishna, that whatever happens outside, whether the world gets destroyed, or everyone hates you, or you get sick, or there's a war, or there's a tsunami, or whatever, you're happy because you're inside, in the real world, you're enjoying with Krishna. Happy all the time. And I promise you, if you continue with Krishna consciousness in this way, after taking initiation, you will reach that stage in this lifetime. Okay, and it all starts from this initiation. But you have to stick to your vows no matter what else happens in this world. That is, the four regulated principles, no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex. And chanting a minimum of 16 rounds a day. Many days I chant 64 rounds a day. That's a lot. Has anyone here ever chanted 64 rounds in one day? Sometimes. Anyone else? That's really hard. Just two people. Two people. Well, you should try sometime in the future when you get the opportunity, you chant 64 rounds one day, and then you will experience that 16 rounds is just the beginning. And if you chant 64 rounds, nothing in this world will bother you. And whenever there is any trouble, you chant more rounds. Don't think, oh, too much trouble, no time for chanting, nobody loves me, no chanting. You chant more because Krishna is your best friend. When you have trouble, you call your best friend on the telephone. You don't call your worst enemy, do you? But instead, you are calling your mind, which is the worst enemy, on the telephone. My dear mind, what should I do? Krishna says in the Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, I am the Lord of all the world, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, I am your best friend. He's in your heart, he'll help you. What can your mind do for you? It's your mind that got you in the mess that you're in now. Trust Krishna. Okay. So now we'll proceed with the initiation, right? Everyone already did the purification.